All right, if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and look at one verse in a moment here from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm on this new series I announced on Easter Sunday as well. It's called What Matters Most. I'm going to try to be touching on base some things here that are actually important to us in the life on this earth. And also things I'll talk about will actually have an eternal value to them as well. This morning's first message, I'm going to call this Being a Friend, and talking about some things about friendship that God wants us to kind of delve into, and how to be a better friend, how to be a right friend, a real friend, and a friend that the Bible talks about that sticks closer even than a brother. My first vehicle I ever drove, as far as being 16 years old, my driver's license in Wichita, Kansas, where it's safer to drive back then, I promise you, than it is to drive in Austin, Texas today. I actually bought a motorcycle, little 185cc Suzuki Enduro, which is dirt and street ready both. And back in that era, I'd ridden bicycles for hours and hours, days and weeks and months, like most young boys had in my neighborhood. We went off-road a lot of times, down dirt hills, up hills, and did a whole lot of things. It was actually not only on the street, but on the dirt as well. So when I bought a motorcycle, my thoughts were a motorcycle should be used not just for the street. It should also be used for the trails and the dirt and getting off the road and having some fun. Now, sometimes I had a little bit too much fun, and I found myself getting two tickets in that era, riding in ditches. The police would stop me and say, "You're on the wrong side of the road." I said, "No, I'm trying to pass all the cars during rush hour, and the ditch has got less traffic than the streets got, so I'm passing all the cars in the ditch." They said, "Well, that's against the law. You can't do that." A few times I rode wheelies across intersections, and the police didn't like that either. I got a few tickets for careless driving, which I thought was ridiculous because I had full control of the motorcycle all the time and knew exactly what I was doing. But anyway, they didn't see it the same way. Well, one day there in Wichita, I actually got off the road, and I was riding in a place where this construction was happening. It had rained that week, and I didn't realize that the rain had caused a big muddy patch to happen. And so my back wheel got stuck in the mud clear up to the seat. I mean, I was so stuck in mud, I could not even hardly, I actually lost my shoes in the mud getting off the motorcycle, trying to pull the motorcycle out of all that muck and mire, and I could not budge my motorcycle one inch. Well, fortunately, I had some friends who did not live too far from where I was at, and I found myself going to a payphone. Back in that era, they had payphones, not cell phones. And I got to the payphone, pulled my little quarter out, I guess it was in that era, called them up, and my identical twin friends, whose name were the Greenbergs, they came rushing out in their car, and all three of us heaved and hoed and whatever and pulled that motorcycle out of the mud. Now, to my amazement, their father, he actually was smiling when he came back to the house where he was at, and he said, "I want to tell you young men, I'm very, very proud of all of you, because that's what a true friend really is all about. In times of trouble, you will be there for each other and help pull each other out and bail each other out in times of trouble." The Bible talks about a friend that was closer than a brother. It says that kind of a friend is very, very rare, very, very hard to find, but it's the kind of friend that God wants us to be, and also I believe to have in our lives by His Spirit, by His grace. May that be so for us more and more and more. So let's look now, first of all, some things you might want to write down in your notes today, in your bulletin, if you have something to write with here. Let's look at some of the kinds of friends we may have found ourselves having in the past, maybe some of us today, also even right now in the present. First of all, there are friends who can be a bad influence. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33 talks about this kind of a friend. And it says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company, bad company will corrupt good habits." And some versions say actually will corrupt good character. The book of Proverbs talks about having friends that can be a bad influence for us. These are the kind of folks that bring influences that actually can hurt our lives and even cause us to even hurt the lives of those we love the most. Most of us here, if we're honest, would look back at our high school era, maybe even our college era as well, and see some mistakes we made in life as far as friendships were concerned. And some of our friends of bad influence helped us make some bad decisions that brought pain to our lives, but also to our parents' lives, maybe even our brothers' and sisters' lives as well. God is telling us again, bad character, bad company will corrupt our good character and will put bad habits in us. My prayer is, we pray for our children, our children's children, that they will not make bad decisions in having bad characters become close friends in their lives. Amen. You know, I've seen how even in the animal kingdom, We had a really good farm dog back in Missouri that was just great to be. I think it was part Beagle and part Labrador and part, I don't know what, it's like a 157 type dog there, but it was a real friendly, good farm dog. It behaved itself all the time. But all of a sudden, some stray dog came into our farm and kind of took us on as letting us adopt it and start feeding it and so forth. But this dog started taking and chasing our chickens and actually killing our chickens. And because our dog saw that dog killing our chickens and eating the chickens' eggs, our dog began to kill chickens also. My dad had to tie our dog up and take that other dog to the dog pound somewhere in town. And it, I think it was a dog pound, okay? So I'm saying, you know what farmers do, so unless this is the G-rated version here. But the other dog disappeared somehow, some way. And our dog had to be tied up for about 1 or 2 weeks straight to get out of its habit, out of its mind, you don't kill the chickens and you don't eat their eggs. Amen? You want to see it take place perhaps in Austin, but we saw it take place in Missouri in that era. Bad company will corrupt and bring forth bad character, bad habits in our lives. Have you ever had a friend that used you? A friend who you thought was your friend, but they actually had an ulterior motive and they had a hidden agenda by being your friend. You know, back when I first began pastoring here 12 years ago, a missionary friend of ours actually got a hold of me through somebody else in the church as well. And they said, let's go ahead before you have your first Sunday service at this church here. Because I realized that they had great faith this church would grow, develop, and be a great healthy church to belong to. They said, let's go off onto a prayer retreat for a couple of days and just seek the face of God and pray to God before you launch out into your ministry as pastor of this place called Family Faith Center at that time. But all of a sudden, as they spoke those words out, I thought about this and had a real kind of a uneasiness in my own spirit about doing this prayer retreat. Because normally I'd jump on things like that. I love to pray. I love prayer retreats. I see nothing wrong with prayer retreats at all, but I felt an uneasiness in my own soul about this guy's proposal to go off somewhere down the South Coast and have 2 days of prayer like that. As a few more days and weeks went by, I realized what this guy's agenda was to get me there aside for 2 days, not just for prayer, but also to take and promote his missions ministry, hoping that what we do here at this church would bring forth financial blessings and financial increase for the work he did on the mission field. Sometimes we have friends who will have agendas in their own minds, and they want to be around us for what we can give to them, not so much give back, or they can give back to us. Amen? Those are folks that use us sometimes. It's kind of like that old mafia saying that says, it's not personal, it's just business. Some folks are our friends because of business, not because of a personal real like and love really for us. God wants us to be friends who don't use people, who don't let people use us, but has she have a love for each other that's healthy, balanced, and reciprocal in Jesus' name. Amen? So, there's also a thing in the Bible and in life that's called real friends. There's friends that are fake, friends that will use us, friends that will corrupt us, but there's also real friends. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend that will stick closer than a brother. Have you ever had a real friend in your life? Well, I hope so. I hope you do right now as well, because real friends, again, like this, they really are kind of hard to find. Did you ever have a real friend who would stand beside you when doing the right thing was not a popular thing to do and would cost you something? You know, a real friend, if you go through a time where you stand your ground for what God's Word says, you stand your ground for a moral truth dilemma upon your nation, your culture, whatever else. You stand your ground for things that are values in your life. Real friends will stand beside you and support you and not run away from you, even though what you may do is unpopular for a season. Though many folks may forsake you and call you unpopular, they will still be right there by your side, loving you unconditionally. That's the kind of friends God wants us to have and to be on the earth. Amen? Did you ever also have a friend who stood up for you when others were actually ripped you apart? Ripped you up one side and down the other. Have you ever had a friend who was actually with you when you failed in life? Because all of us go through times in our life and seasons where failures take place, where there's actually backwards momentum and things aren't going so well. When everybody else was writing you an obituary They were right there by your side, still loving you, still your friend, and still around you, and saying, I love you, and I want to be around you unconditionally. Though you go through a time right now of backwards momentum, I still know you in the realm of the Spirit, and I still want to be your friend by the power of Almighty God. I read a story here in the Austin Statesman several years ago about a popular coach here in Texas. This coach was now in his earlier mid-60s. He actually got fired and released from his job like Mack Brown did months or weeks back, whatever it was. Or the guy actually from our basketball team here for the Longhorns, Rick Barnes, actually lost his job like this, kind of almost by surprise. And this coach, he said, I'm now in my mid-60s. I have no more desire and energy to climb this mountain of coaching all over again. This man goes out into his garage, gets a fifth of bourbon, starts drinking down all he can to kind of numb his body, turns his ignition on, his engine on in his garage with the doors all shut, putting a hose into his car, trying to kill himself. By the grace of God, somebody phoned him, and the phone did not answer. They came rushing to his house and found the car on, and they found the whole garage full of smoke and full of exhaust. They opened all the doors up. They drug him out of his car, rescued him, and they saved his life. The coach said what amazed him was in the hospital room they was at recuperating, he said, I did not realize how many people really were my friends. He got phone calls and cards and flowers and visits from people by the dozens saying, you don't need to die, you need to live. Your life is not over yet. You are not washed up just because you lost your job as a coach. Because you're no longer popular in the coaching realm, we still are with you, behind you, and love you unconditionally. That's the kind of friends I believe God wants us to have and to be in life. Amen? There's also this verse in Proverbs defines what a real friend is like. It could have said things like a real friend loves us, a real friend cares for us, a real friend gives to us. Doesn't say any of those things. It says a real friend sticks closer to us than a brother. I believe that Orpah, the sister-in-law or daughter-in-law of Naomi, loved her and cared for her, and she would give her things as well, but she would not stick close to her when all things went bad and went south in her life. Orpah was gone, but the Bible says Ruth clung to her and stuck closer to her than a brother. I'm so proud of so many folks in our congregation here at Tree of Life Church, because so many times we had people that are getting sick sometimes, people like Billy Kreider, other folks as well, like the Lucarinis in hospital on dialysis, going through kidney failure, going through times of liver problems and so forth. They say time and time again, people in our church are going to the hospitals right there by their side, praying for them, caring for them, talking to them, giving meals to them. They're right there with them in their worst moments in their lives. I praise God and I applaud you folks in our congregation who do things like that. Amen. That is what true Christianity, true God-likeness, and true love for people really is all about. When folks are at their worst, we are at our best, and we stick closer to them than a brother. Amen. May it be so for our lives more and more. Most of us have found a life that when you're charmed, you're a charmed person, and the sunlight's all around you, and all things of favor are drenching your life, there's all kind of folks that want to be near us in seasons like that in our lives. When all of a sudden when things are not quite so charming, and there's all kind of a darkness around us, and things aren't going the best for us in life, it seems those same folks that might have loved us back then in the charming days are hard to find in the days of want and lack and turmoil in our lives. The popular coach, whose name was Tom Landry, of the great team called the Dallas Cowboys, called America's Team, of course, they became America's Team during the Tom Landry era because that man was a man of integrity. That man was a man that was godly. That man was a man that meant what he said, said what he meant, and was not two persons in front of folks and then behind the scenes. He was the same person all the time. Well, Tom Landry was so popular and he was so successful with the Cowboys, I think in the 1960s, that at one time, some folks on the East Coast teams, might have been the New York Giants or Washington Redskins teams, they were so mad and so jealous at the Cowboys beating them all the time, they actually put death threats on Tom Landry's life and said, if you come to the game this coming Sunday, we will shoot you and we will kill you. Many of the people around Tom Landry said, you might want to go ahead and just stay back in the locker room during the game. You got death threats on your life right now. Well, Tom Landry would not hear of it. He puts on a bulletproof vest. And he goes out there on the sideline. And he's still out there watching the game. But the amazing thing was, most of the Dallas Cowboys players stood a far distance from him during the entire game. He learned what it means to have conditional friends and conditional love real fast. Whenever there's a threat on our lives and things aren't going so well, the true friends will then show up who stick closer than a brother. Amen? Those guys should have been surrounding him with their bodies, protecting him. They were way far away from him with their contracts and their limousines. Amen? So moving on, the question today is, do you have anyone or have room in your life for that kind of a friend to be in your life? I've heard some folks say, I have so many friends right now, I have no room for more friends. Well, I believe that God wants to give you more capacity and more room to have friends in your life, maybe even new friends. Amen? Suppose a friend that you want to have has got powerful influence, has great expertise, has tremendous connections. Now, normally in life, folks like that, normal people seek them out to become their friends. What if somebody with great expertise, great connections, great power, great influence, actually seeks you out and wants to become your friend as a normal person on the face of the earth? Well, the fact and truth is, there's a friend like that who has great influence, who has great power, who has great wisdom, who has great knowledge. He's a great person, a great God, and he is the Lord God Almighty who wants to be our friend. I'm speaking this morning here about what matters most. What matters most to God is, God wants to be your friend, and God wants you also to be a friend to others around you in a right, pure, and holy way that God ordains by his own character, by his own nature. He is God. This is not about religion, because in my experience, religion is what puts a wedge between us and God. Religion says you must jump through hoops, must do works, and do things and penance and so forth to get near to God. Religion actually draws God away from us, not towards us at all, and us also towards him. This is not about religion. This is all about relationship. God's a friend that will sit closer than a brother, not a religion, but a relationship, because God's a God of love, and God's a God of grace. He's not a distant person, didn't have a hammer in his hand to hammer us down and try to show what's wrong with us, condemn us, judge us, and see what's wrong with us. He is a friend that comes to us and embraces us, holds us, cares for us, and loves us. The good news is, unconditionally. And the Bible even says he first loved us, even before we knew him. He knew us and drew us to himself. It's good news. The one in heaven that's powerful, mighty, full of influence, and all popular, he wants to be your friend. Talking here today about friendship with God. Let's look now at James chapter 2, verse 23. James 2, 23 says this. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. It was credited to him, accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. John chapter 15, verse 15. Jesus Christ about to go to the cross and die on the cross. Before he does this, he gives instructions to his disciples. He prays prayers before he dies on the cross as well. And Jesus says, no longer, in verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have now made known to you. Jesus now calls us not servants or slaves. He calls us his friends. This is where things are a little bit dicey now, because there are actually some who believe that God needs to be appeased and God is hostile towards us. One camp sees God like that. The other camp sees God as a fishing buddy and drinking buddy. You put your arm around him, kind of slap him on the back and say, how's your day going, God? In kind of a nonchalant, que sera, sera type lifestyle. How many folks realize that both of those extremes are out of balance and both of those are fraudulent? God is not a God that's far off and distant and trying to, say, appease me and make me happy. But at the same time, God's not a fishing buddy and drinking buddy who says, do what you want to do because I'm a chameleon who becomes anything you are, I become that myself to make you happy in your life. We don't define God by how we act. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? We don't change God. God changes us. Now, the fact is, God's got many attributes, many facets to his nature and his character and who he is, but God does not change his values, his nature, his love, the way he sees the world, what God knows. No man can change that because God is perfect. God is honest, God is truthful, and God knows what is best for mankind upon the earth. And many folks today are trying to take and change God's nature and change how God is as a fishing buddy type God, as a drinking buddy type God, and God is not that as well, because God is God. Amen? Write these things down in your notes. There's some things I want to talk about now about God's nature, God's facets, that show who God really is as far as a friend is concerned. Number one, first thing is, God, excuse me, God is awesome. God is awesome. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means that God does not talk about there being anything before him. God always has been, excuse me, and God always also has existed. We need to be dealing, we deal with time and segments of time and beginnings and endings ourselves as humans, but God does not deal like that upon the face of the earth. God is telling us that time and distance and beginnings and segments of time are anomalies we deal with, but God deals with a thing that's called eternity. God has no beginnings and God has no endings, and God says the only time in the universe history you're going to find beginnings and endings and segments of time is right now in the short history of this earth with fallen mankind who lives by a clock, who lives by hours, who lives by time that has beginnings and segments and endings. God has no beginnings, God has no endings, and God has called all of us to eternity, to be eternal beings forever and ever living with him forevermore. Amen? So we got to realize again, God has no beginnings and God has no endings. God is awesome. Atheists basically believe, if you could get them into a corner and talk to them about their beliefs on God, they believe that we as Christians and believers have based our facts and logic upon a thing called the supernatural and upon faith. They believe what they believe is based on nature, natural things, and human reasoning. Now, they would say also, these are two separate views that cannot be intertwined. Either you have supernatural and faith over here and the natural reasonings over here, but you cannot have the two coming together. And they would say to you again, that's why you cannot prove that God exists, because you cannot see God, touch God, or taste God in the reasonings and natural realms of humanity. And the problem we have here, of course, is that they're asking us again, you as believers must be the ones who have the burden of proof to prove that God exists. But it's really the other way around. Now, why do I say that? Because an atheist doesn't realize, if you look at nature, look at things that man has made, like 787 jets, like the iPhone, like computers, these are all systems that exist in systems. The human body also is a conglomeration of systems in a system. For example, we have a respiratory system, we got a mental system, we got a circulatory system, we've also got the skeletal system, we got the nerve system. We have many systems that work in our own bodies, systems working inside of a system. The same thing true again, 787 jets, computers, and iPhones. And you're going to find in nature what man makes is the common thread between iPhones and 787 jets and computers is they all went through a thing called engineering, And they all went through a thing called manufacturing. They all went through a thing that's called design. All things that are systems in a system have gone through those three things. Manufacture, they've gone through design, and they've also been looked at as in a realm where they've been invented by somebody and put together by somebody of a higher order. There's no way you could explain, if this can explain, how mankind could exist the way he does with all the systems in us, reproductive systems, circulation systems, respiratory systems, all these things in us have been made, they have to be made by somebody that designed us of a higher order than we are ourselves. It could not take place by random evolution over billions and billions and billions of years. Because the fact is, where did it all begin? Where did it begin as far as the first bit of matter was is concerned in the universe? It had to have come from some place, somewhere. Now, God does not in the Bible try to prove he exists or prove that he is. In fact, God also does not use the argument of faith or the supernatural or miracles to prove his existence. God actually uses nature and reasoning to prove he exists. Isn't that amazing? Romans chapter 1, verse 20 proves this. Romans 1:20 says this. For since the creation of the earth, the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made on the earth, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God says, look at the birds, the oceans, the waters, the universe, the planets, the stars. The natural things will cause you to realize there must be a higher power who put all these things together. It could not take place by random workings of nature over billions and billions of years. We are a system of systems inside of us. God says we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God is awesome. No beginning, no ending. You cannot explain where God came from. God just shows up in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and says, I am here, I made the whole universe, take it or leave it. Here's my business card. You cannot disprove that I exist. Because I can prove my existence by things around you upon the face of the earth in the universe. So God is awesome. The Bible says God is creator. He says, I alone am God. There's none besides me. Only I can tell the future before it happens. Everything I've planned will come to pass. God is an awesome God. I told folks here on Easter Sunday morning, there are dozens times dozens of prophecies in the Old Testament that came exactly true in the life of Jesus Christ hundreds of years later. That's impossible to happen unless there's a God out there who saw things in advance before they even took place on the earth. Even Revelations is happening right now before our eyes upon the face of this earth, prophesied thousands of years ago. We're seeing things fulfilled right now in our era, in our age, that only could happen by God seeing things in advance. And the good news is, everything God has said would come to pass is coming to pass, just like he said that it would. Amen? Number two about thing about God here, about being a friend of God, is God knows you. God knows you. Remember the story of Hagar? Hagar was the handmaiden of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. And the Bible, of course, tells us that Sarah's barren, can have a baby. And so Sarah says, let my handmaiden Hagar go in with you in a sexual type way, produce a baby, and let that child be the one who fulfills a promise God gave us years ago about having offspring that's more numerous than all the stars of the heavens and be the heir to the throne and genealogy of our family. And so Abraham listens to her. The baby is born named Ishmael. And the Bible goes on and says that whenever Hagar finally saw that Sarah became pregnant, all of a sudden Sarah, her friendship for Hagar changes totally. You see, she used her for her own agenda and her own benefit, not a true friend at all. All of a sudden now Sarah's pregnant, and Sarah says, this mocking Gentile must now leave this house. She's no friend of mine. Kick her out immediately. Abraham listens to what she says, his own wife says, and Abraham sends her out with no clothes, no food, no money, no inheritance, nothing at all, in the desert under a broom tree by herself. And the Bible says that God sees Hagar crying under a bush. And God says these words in Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. It says, "Then she called the name of the Lord," Hagar did, "who spoke to her. And she said, 'You are the God who sees.' For she said, 'Have I also seen him who now sees me?'" God showed up for Hagar. God gave her food. God gave her water. God gave her sustenance. God took care of her when no man would. God knows you. Fact is, the Bible says the very hairs of our head are numbered. Mine are getting easier to number every single year, it seems like. Amen. But God knows every detail about your life, your comings, your goings, your future, your past, your present. God knows us. That's not bad news. That is good news. Because God knows you, nothing that your life goes through takes God by surprise. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. When it seems like all hell breaks loose around us, God is right there in the midst of us, making ways of escape. We can bear any temptation the world throws at us by the power of Almighty God. Hagar is in a hopeless situation, but God shows up and reveals himself to her as the God who sees and the God who knows who you are. And praise God that God's like that for you and I today as well. This story reveals that not only is God the God who sees, but also when he sees me, he's not there just to condemn me, judge me, and curse me. He is there to bless me, help me, and bring forth life back into my life by the power of his grace. Amen. When God sees us, he'll help us, bless us, be with us, not curse us, condemn us, and do bad things for us, because we serve a good God. Amen. Tell your neighbor right now, we serve a good God. Yes. Number three, being a friend of God means we understand that God also loves you. God loves you. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, there's many, many verses in the whole entire Bible about God's love towards us. I like Jeremiah 31, verse 3, that says this: "The Lord has appeared of old to me and said, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you.'" Some female Christian artist a few years back sang a song I like so much. It's in the Bible as well. It says, "It's your love that leads us to repentance." We go through sometimes of backslidings or sinful practice or doing things we know we shouldn't be doing. God will draw us back to himself, not with anger and hatred and vengeance. He'll draw us back to himself with loving kindness. Unconditional love and friendship is what God shows to us. The prodigal son also shows us, no matter how far backwards we go in life, he is still there with a robe and the fattened calf and the ring to put right back on our fingers again. When we come back to him, he actually comes running towards us and meets us more than halfway, because God loves us so much. Amen? That's for someone today to hear that. Last of all, number four, God wants to be your friend. God wants to be your friend. The question today is, how do I get to be God's friend? There's actually two aspects on this. One is meeting God. The other is deepening your relationship with God. Many of us, the body of Christ, have met God through salvation, through Jesus Christ, who called upon the name of the Lord. We said, I'm a sinner, I need forgiveness. Come inside my heart, wash my sins away. We have met God by salvation, but we have not yet become a deepened relationship friend of God in our lives. God wants friends, not acquaintances. Amen? God wants marriage, not dating. God wants relationship, not religion. God wants you to know he wants to be your friend. And the Bible says the good thing about friends is friends know secrets. Friends have mysteries revealed to them. Friends are not servants or slaves. Friends have access to other friends that are their friends in closeness. That's what God wants from our lives. The good thing about meeting God is you don't have to go chasing after him. The Bible says he's chasing after you. God is running after us. You don't chase him down, he will chase you down every single time. I want to stop out there and say prophetically here, let's start praying that prayer in Austin, Texas, that that people that are in darkness right now, that are bound for darkness, perhaps forevermore otherwise, unless they receive Christ as Savior, let's start praying that they realize that God is chasing them down, that God is for them, not against them, and that God wants to love them and save them and help them out, not curse them and ruin their lives. Let's pray for prayers like that. Maybe you're running yourself from God today. The tragic thing is, if you're running from God, you're actually running from the mirage of God, not the real God. If you actually knew who the real God was, you would not run from Him, you actually would run to Him. Those who are running from God are running from a mirage of God. Those who actually know God will know that God is only love, only good, only kindness, only power, only benefit. They will not run from Him. They will find themselves running to Him. Amen? Religion will cause us to say we must do things of works and make God happy first, and then God will then accept us. And God says, no, I accept you where you're at. The true story of a woman that was here in Texas years ago also, she actually found herself being chased by a man in a big pickup. She was in a car. This guy was getting closer and closer to her bumper, flying over the speed limit. She was putting the accelerator down. She laid on the gas. She was trying to outrun the guy, lose the guy, and the guy was just right on her tail. She went through, right through a red light. The guy goes right through the same red light. She goes through right on her tail as well. A few more blocks and miles go by. She finally gets a little bit of distance between her and the pickup he's driving. She pulls into a convenience store, opens her door up, and runs in the store to help get some help in there, hopefully, and call the police. The man in the pickup truck pulls in also beside her, jumps out of his pickup, and runs in after her in the convenience store. And she's white as a ghost. She's full of fear and terror, thinking this man's going to take and probably try to kill her or something like that. He goes, ma'am, I was chasing you down because I saw, when you got back there and got gasoline several miles back, a serial rapist got into your back seat and was hiding in the back seat of your car. He would have raped you and killed you. I was trying to chase you down and warn you, you've got a serial rapist in your back seat. He's going to take your life. That's how folks that don't know Jesus Christ are themselves. They're running from God, not realizing the very thing that can help them out is trying to chase them down and save their lives. Amen? God does not come to kill and steal and destroy. He comes to give life, and life more abundant every time. Amen? So God does radical things sometimes. God does some things that blows our mind, but God only does it because He loves us and cares about us, and He's chasing us by His Spirit. The thing is, if you want to meet God, it's not difficult, because He's actually pursuing us and chasing after us as well in our lives. What was it about Abraham that caused God to call him his friend? If you want to meet God, there's only one thing you can give God. That's not money. It's not even time. You must give God the free will that God gave to you. Give that back to Him. Because the Bible says that Abraham was found as just and righteous in his generation. That means that Abraham's free will was turned not towards sin and rebellion, but towards serving the Lord, his God. And because his free will was given back to God, God took Abraham's free will and blessed him with a generation and generation of people that live today in holy covenant with God's blessings and grace and goodness working in their lives. Abraham was God's friend because he believed God, he trusted God. Cheryl here, I've known her now for 35 years. Been married now for almost 34 years in our lives. Having an anniversary here in about one more month. I think actually before our own daughter's wedding in a few weeks as well. Cheryl and I, when we were dating 35 years ago, we made a mutual choice together to deepen our relationship by joining our lives together around a common interest, who was Jesus Christ Himself. We actually met in prayer meetings, praying together before school every morning, Monday through Friday, and then traveling out doing services there for rock music and evangelizing here in public meetings as well. What decided that we come together was a common interest in saying what you like in your business, what I like in my business, let's join these two things together and let the two become one flesh and hopefully live happily ever after. God is saying to you and I as well, if you get involved in God's business, He'll get involved in your business. If you sow into God what He wants in life, God will sow into you what you need in your life. Amen. So James, go back to the platform here to help me out, please. I want to give one more story here about how I found through sowing and reaping, not just how God will bless us in money or houses or things. I found that in actually in sowing and reaping, God will bless us in realms of our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions as well by sowing into doing God's business. When Cheryl and I first began traveling and ministering in our first months of marriage, I had met a pastor in Festus, Texas named James Womble. This guy was a man of faith, a man of humor, a man of purity, a man of power, a man that saw healings and miracles take place. He told us, please come to my church in Festus and do your little rock seminar thing here if you do that as well, please. On the way of doing that, on that trip especially, they must have been praying for us real hard because about 30 miles from his house where he lived at in our travels that day, Cheryl's asleep on the seat right next to me there in our car. I heard the Holy Spirit say, look out the window to the left. There's a white-tailed deer. I looked out there to my amazement. There's a great big old giant buck deer with a full set of antlers right outside the window that I would not have seen otherwise. I drive on to James Womble's house, get into his church, get into his office. The Holy Spirit gives me a divine urge for a Hostess Twinkie. Couldn't understand that. I'm craving a Hostess Twinkie. What's this all about? James Womble pulls his drawer open in his desk and says, I got some Hostess Twinkies right here. Do you guys want one? Isn't that amazing? See, I saw how God was saying to me, get involved in my business, and I'll get involved in your business. God brings little bitty handfuls of blessings on purpose to us to show I am a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I care about every detail of your life. And I've seen over the years how God does things like that again and again and again. We find lost money. We get lost favor. We just find things take place by divine coincidences that God just sets things up. And God is saying, get involved in my business, and I'll get involved in your business. What did Jesus Christ even say himself? I must be about the Father's business. God puts us together like Cheryl and myself, of a common interest, a common vision, a common God, friends forever. She's my best friend. I think I'm her best friend. I can say that safely as well. Common interests, common God, common vision, common goal. God says, get involved in my business. I'll get involved in your business. Let's bow our head. Let's close our eyes now for a moment, please. We're going to pray. I want to say in closing today that every time you get engaged with God and get involved with what God is doing in the world, you will know God a little bit better in your life. The question today is, have you ever gotten to know God as a friend? Not just an acquaintance, not some religious figure, not some invisible character like Casper the Ghost. Do you know God is a friend that will sit closer than a brother in your life? What matters most is friends. Those who stick with us in good times or bad times. Those who are reciprocal in their friendship and love towards us. That's the kind of friends that God wants to give us upon the earth. So your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit today again to show us and reveal to us areas of our lives. We might not have been the kind of friend that God wanted us to be for somebody in our past, in our present. Might want to take some time right now and to say, Father, forgive me for using people, abusing people, having hidden agendas, and just only having people around me who could benefit my cause and my household and my future and my desires. Help me, God, be one who will sow into people's lives. You can give nothing back to me. And be, oh God, a friend that will sit closer than a brother to all those around me who put in my path. To be those, oh God, who love me and I love them in a way that is godly, righteous, and full of agape, unconditional love by the power of God. Father, I pray also today for those who are struggling with believing that God's a God that's personal, a God who speaks, a God who cares, a God who's near us, a God that lives in us, a God that works through us, a God that says, I want to be your friend, not just your Savior, not just your eternal insurance ticket to heaven. I want to be your friend. I want to speak to you, counsel you, bless you, give you Hostess Twinkies on purpose at the right time. Because I am a God that cares about every detail of your life. Let's pray for that right now in our lives. Father God, reveal yourself to me, to us, as my friend. Father, remove from me every lie of religion that says you're distant, you're hostile, you're judging, you have no care about mankind. You can't wait to come back and burn the world up. We praise you, God. You're not a God like that at all. You're a God that loves us, a God that cares about us. And I pray, God, reveal yourself to us by your word, by your spirit, through your church, God, through your people, that you're a loving God, a kind God, and a patient God who wants to bless people in their lives. In Jesus' name. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, O God. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's all go ahead and all stand to our feet now, please. I'm going to have us dismissed in prayer in a moment. But I want us to take and just do one more thing today. If you can, just take the hand of your neighbor to your left, your right. You can do that, please, quickly. Let's just ask God in Tree of Life Church. We're not going through any kind of a crisis right now. We're finding a lot of people here trying to fight each other and bicker about each other and backbite each other. Praise God, we don't have a lot of that in this church at all. Let's just pray that God gives us agape love, one for another in this congregation. Let's just say today, I'm going to make a covenant from this day forward that I will be a friend to the friends around me in this church that will stick closer than a brother. And if I can help them out in their times of need, I choose to be there for them by my prayers, by my cards, by my phone calls, my texting, my body, my presence. I will be there for them by my service, my giftings. I will be there for them in Jesus' name. I'm just going to take it. I'm just going to touch James' shoulder here. Let's pray this prayer together. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you, O God, have knit our hearts together by the power of your Spirit. Father, your word says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We believe we're here, O God, for such a time as this. Let us, O God, be a people whose hearts are so knit together. In our times of need or our times of despair, my brothers and my sisters, we will be there for them in the name of Jesus. Father, I praise you, God. Show me not just my needs and my heart's cry, but also the heart cry of those around me who need perhaps sometimes my voice, my counsel, my prayers, my love, my time, my attention, my giftings, my abilities. I say, Father God, I am on notice and I am available to be a blessing, Father God, to others and to be their friend in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's just give God praise and thanks right now and seal this with a hand clap to him. The smitings upon Christ's body, they seal to us this day that God hears us, God heard us, and God's going to hold us accountable here in a good way to love one another. Amen.